Good evening. This is Ed Tankus, and you're listening to Blue Plate Radio, Connecticut's premier jazz station, and this is Talking Jazz Live. I'm here with keyboard player Tom Barino and his brother and guitarist Greg Barino of New Haven's own Airborne. Airborne has just released their eighth CD, an anthology called Back in the Days. We're here to talk about their new CD and a whole lot more. And now, Tom and Greg Barino. Welcome, guys.
Hi, how you doing, Ed? This is Greg Barino.
And hi, everybody out there. It's wonderful to be on Talking Jazz Live on BluePlateRadio.com.
Well, before we talk about your new CD, Back in the Days, I want to talk a little bit about the band. Tell us how Tommy, how the three of you guys got together.
Well, first it was me and Tommy back in the old soul band days. Matter of fact, it was old horn band, the soul review type group, but horns, and Tommy was a singer at that time, and then he started playing flute and sax also, and that band was a pretty popular band at that time. I think it was called United Soul at that time, and we played up and down the East Coast, all the different venues for that during that time, during the Motown times.
So about what time, you know, was that during the 70s, the 80s?
Oh, that was 60s, yeah.
Oh, well, I was trying to give you the benefit.
We were young lads.
Yeah, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt there.
Yeah, we were young lads. And then Gregory came in, would say, late 70s?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
My background's a little more toward the jazz end. I had moved to Boston to go to school there at Berklee College of Music. I traveled on the road for a while with some jazz groups, did a lot of Latin jazz. And then when I came back home to New Haven around 1980, me and Tom started playing, and the group formed from there on.
Okay, so what was the New Haven music scene like back in the day? Tell us about some of the places around the New Haven area where you played.
New Haven had a great jazz jazz network and clubs, but great music in general. There was great R&B, there was great jazz, and good rock and roll and blues, too. So
there was a lot of places to play then, too, especially for jazz. Well, the Foundry Cafe we're going back to. There was Malcolm's. There was Hot Peas and Butter for jazz. Toad's Place was many exclusive jazz places, like Jeff Lorber really started there. I would say that, too, in the early days.
Places like the Oxford Ale House.
Great American Music Hall.
Ballrooms. We were there, yes.
New Haven had a great, well, let's not forget the Monterey.
Yes.
Over on Dixwell.
On Dixwell, yeah. Talk of the Town, all great jazz places.
Okay. So who were you listening to, and what type of music was beginning to influence your sound? Did any of those musicians influence some of the tracks on your new CD back in the days?
What I'm listening to now or back
then? Well, back then, as you're starting to perform and performing around the area, you know, what sort of music were you hearing that was sort of starting to influence?
I liked a lot of R&B and funk, hardcore funk, like Earth, Wind & Fire or Tower Power, but also my jazz, the jazz rock and fusion thing was just beginning with people like Chick Corea, John McLaughlin. Those were early influences. Later on, when Pat Metheny came on, he was a big influence. So I listened to a lot of different types of, and Latin music. I loved Latin music a lot. So
I'd have to say my influence were for pianists, Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock. They have to be a very big influence. As far as Chick Corea with the Latin jazz and what he did with Spanish Heart, that's one of my favorite albums, and Light of His Feathers all the time, of all times. And of course, to get that funk, Herbie Hancock with like the Trust album, like you can't get enough of hearing that funky stuff, as they say. But or as far as modal jazz, I love Bill Evans. I used to love to listen to Bill Evans a lot. He had that certain, to go in around modal chords. It was wonderful, beautiful tones and beautiful chords to listen to.
And you guys incorporate, you know, Chick Corea, Herbie Hancock, and other sounds in some of your live stuff now.
I would say what we did, we've taken all the influences. I've never copied anybody. Mm. I've always, like, would listen and try to feel what they were doing. and then just take all that knowledge and listening and create your own and find your own voice.
I would say any type, any style of music would influence you, no matter what it is, blues, Latin, even rap. There's something there. There's rhythm. You will learn something from everybody. I would even tell younger musicians that you'll get something from any type of music. You'll learn. Always have an open mind and be very humble about that, because you learn from everything. You learn from all kinds of music. You'll pick up something, and then you only, and then you'll have your own personal expression from that.
Okay. So was it while you guys were playing, was it easier to keep a band together? You know, back then.
Well, it was easier back then. Keeping groups together is always a challenge sometimes. But you know, if you find a good group of people who you work with, you make it work.
Yeah, bands, like they, everybody talks about, oh, those were the band days. When the same guys were always playing together. Even the artists right now, that's why you see a lot more single artists. Or they'll show two or three people. We've been very lucky that we've had people playing with us for many years, right, Greg?
Yes, for at least, 25 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. Me, Gregory, and Tommy Sansone are the nucleus, the leaders, but the band members have been with us very much a long time, and as we'll discuss in the interview as we go through the CDs, too.
Terrific. Now, as you talk about the CDs, maybe you can just give some of the listeners a little bit of history about each of them. Your first CD was in 1990. It's called Takeoff. Tell us a little bit about that and how that came to be.
That CD definitely has a more of a fusion jazz rock edge to it. We didn't definitely play it safe at all. It was all recorded pretty much live in the studio, with some overdubs actually, but the whole band played together and recorded live together. So it definitely has a raw edge, but while maybe some things might be a little loose here or there, there's a certain energy that comes out from that, certain expression or rawness or realness. So
we always say the band was formed in 1988, and that CD came out in 1990. But most of the stuff was recorded probably in during the 80s. But we never really released it. We performed so much, and it always seemed to be...
Well, back then also, too, times were different. It was harder for an independent artist to put out a CD or an album.
Yes.
You usually always had to be signed. You couldn't put out your own CD.
Yes.
Now it's much a different time.
It's gone the exact opposite, where you've got so many avenues or opportunities.
Yes, absolutely.
Until we formed our own record company, and then we started releasing them as them. That's why we say 1990 was the turning point for that CD. Yes.
Okay. So your company is Tilt Records.
Tilt Records. Yes.
And what does that Tilt Records do? I mean, let's get a little insight into what a record record company does.
Okay, it oversees all the distributing to everywhere. Well, today there is no more record stores. Before it used to be record stores, but now it's mostly internet. It's probably 95%. I don't even know there's one in a record store in Connecticut. That I know that Borders and Barnes & Noble are closing up too, and they were one of the last to sell, well, especially jazz. If you go Best Buy, I don't know if they're still around either, but they discontinued jazz sections. So it was hard. They were distributing more pop. But for jazz artists, it's been very hard to be in that category, to sell records. So,
right, well, just in general, the record aisles, if you will, are diminishing greatly
in all the stores.
All stores.
People are buying music differently. Times change. It's okay.
Radio.
That's internet radio.
But people do digital downloads. They buy that way.
Yes.
They buy their CDs online. So it's just a different time.
Different world.
Different world, yes. But like we said, the Takeoff was a category of, it's the 80s until it was released as that. So it was meant. We were talking about the drummer who's playing with us now, Dave Ramsey, and we were talking about the song Sunny Skies, that's on our anthology album. We put it on it. And we were talking about when it was recorded. So we figured out it was 1984. And he started laughing. He said, "That's when I was born." We felt a little old.
I felt a little old. So. Okay, 1995, Across the Sky. So you guys had nothing to say or do for 5 years? Or you're just busy recording and putting...
We were recording and always performing 4 to 5 nights a week.
Yes.
But also, too, I have to say, it was still difficult to put a CD out at the time independently.
Yes.
Now there's so many duplicators, and the internet still hadn't taken off. Windows 95 wasn't out yet. So, you know.
Now I feel old.
Yes.
So, but that CD, I would say, was a continuation of the first one in the sense it had that rawness with the fusion.
At the high energy contemporary jazz. Yes. It was definitely. We didn't get to, well, you'll go to the next CD, the Lifetone CD. That's when we finally, it was high energy contemporary jazz, but we finally went into the smooth jazz era with Island View. That was our first single for smooth jazz.
And that was on Lifetones.
That was on Lifetone. But Lifetones is very high energy. That, I know that's one of your favorite.
I've wrote it down here in my notes. One of my favorite CDs and a CD that seems to have a life of its own.
Yes, it does.
I would say the thing with Lifetones, Will, it took best of both worlds. Yeah. We refined our sound and smoothed it out, but we still had that raw energy on there. I think we just became better musicians, better recording artists, and just better songwriters.
Yes.
And just and arrangers,
yes.
And the group got tighter.
Because we've been working so. That was the same band, too.
It was the same band, so the group just got better.
Yes, that band was together. That same unit was together at least 10 to 15 years.
And being it was our third CD, we got better at making a CD.
Yeah.
So Island View was your first smooth jazz.
Yes.
And how did that do in the charts?
Slow. I have to say, the beginning of smooth jazz. Yeah,
it was the beginning. Also, too, we didn't have any of the connections, it was new territory.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know? But people have said they drove to different parts of the country at a time, and they would hear it on the radio.
We got good radio.
Yes, we did.
But were we on any internet for people to buy it then?
Internet was young.
Not in 1999.
No, the internet was young.
It was still young, and you know, we weren't selling CDs online then at all.
No, it was all record store.
We were getting people all across the country were hearing it.
And mail order. That's what it was, that you had to buy it.
Yeah, and sometimes they didn't even know how to contact us.
But even though this CD came out in 1999, you're still selling copies of it.
Yes, we are.
Oh,
more now, I think, than then.
Yeah, people really enjoy this. And it's funny that we're talking about this CD. A young, aspiring film director says he doesn't even like jazz, but... Lifetones is his favorite CD of all times.
He says that album turned him on.
Yes.
He didn't really hear it before.
Yes.
And then he heard the CD and he's a young, aspiring film director.
Yes.
And shall we say it now?
You might as well say it now.
Well, he wants to do a documentary on the group.
Well, congratulations.
Since we're having this 20-year anniversary. And
he can use some of my notes.
Yes.
Yes. But we're very honored about that. But there is a lot to talk about the Airborne Band because it's been together for so long. We have a lot of stories to tell.
A lot of stories. And
New Haven is an interesting town, which we grew up in. Yeah. And there was a lot of culture and a lot of music did in all these years, these 8 albums.
And a lot of diversity.
So it's going to be interesting. It's going to probably start, documentary will probably start doing that during this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very pleased with that. We should say his name, Kevin Sabo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this is Ed Tankus from Blue Plate Radio, Connecticut's premier jazz station, and this is Talking Jazz Live. I'm here with keyboard player Tom Barino and his brother and guitarist Greg Barino of New Haven's own Airborne. Airborne has just released their 8th CD, an anthology called Back in the Days. We're here to talk about their new CD and a lot more. If you would like to purchase an Airborne Jazz CD, then simply go to their website at airbornejazz.com. That's airbornejazz.com for all the information. If you'd like to ask Tom or Greg a question, then you can email us at talkingjazzlive@blueplateradio.com. That's talkingjazzlive@blueplateradio.com. Now back to the CDs. After Lifetones in 1999 came Heavy Vibes in 2004. What was Heavy Vibes about? Was that another sort of transition from the fusion into more smooth jazz? What was going on with
Heavy
Vibes?
That was a transition, but that had a lot of variety on that CD. That could almost be it's just a collage of different sounds. It had a little more of a Latin influence on there, but then we had some R&B stuff with vocals. We introduced vocals on our CDs. It had some fusion stuff on it and smooth jazz. I don't know. I mean, it was a little bit all over the place. It was a long CD.
But about 12
when
songs.
It was over an hour long. I know that.
It introduced a different, it was a new diversity sound of Airborne.
Absolutely.
We started refining a lot more and doing more arrangements.
Yeah.
And we definitely added our percussionist to it, which we now always use. Percussion is a very big part of our sound. And the vocals. We put more vocals, like Gregory said, with vocal arrangements in there too. So, but it is very diverse sound, yes.
And that CD was the first where the instrumentals had vocals.
Yes, we used the vocals
as an instrument.
Yes.
Or as part of a counter line, where not necessarily like a song with a lead vocalist backup. The vocals were just part of the ensemble.
Okay, yes. So they're added some harmony or
harmonies, or some movement, counter to the melody or singing with the melody.
Yeah.
Matheny did some stuff like that. Yeah. Many people have. So.
McCoy Tyner did a wonderful album. It was an album at that time,
Okay, so, and Heavy Vibes is still selling well.
Yes.
Yes, it, matter of fact, it's one of our biggest selling.
That was our biggest selling album.
Turbulence took it over. Right now, that's the next CD coming out.
2007 is Turbulence?
That is our
Turbulence?
Best selling album as of date. Well, because it's a few years older now. And that was, I'd have to say, a world fusion album. That had Latin. It had an African piece, which we're proud of that. The drums a piece. It had a big band, contemporary big band swing sound song in it.
Which song was that?
That was Hillside Swing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Turbulence was one of my favorite albums.
Yes.
Actually. Musically, that album really has some great stuff on it. You know, we really refined our recording chops, and we kept that mixture between energy and musicality and smooth jazz.
And concept. We had a concept, and we weren't looking for to say, okay, this has to be a single, or this has to be this. We did one single. It was called Smooth Sailing. That was geared for the smooth jazz charts at that time, and it did very well. Smooth Sailing still played now. It still played very well now. We also did a tribute to the first Americans, the Native Americans, too. And on Turbulence, you'll hear different ambiances. We weren't afraid to do a long intro or something in the middle, something different. A concept or something like the old Beatles days, you know, when you heard the number nine, or we would do different things, not particularly like that, but the idea that you would hear.
So except for one song, you really weren't playing to the radio or to a radio audience. You were just trying to compose songs that were...
I would say so. There might be one or two...
The
message, the last song... had a smooth jazz radio sound.
Or Can't Fight Love, which was an R&B type.
R&B vocal song.
Vocal song. Mm-hmm. It was like a Bobby Caldwell type of feeling with vocals with a...
Liz Dellinger. And also, too, we did like a Sade type of song.
Yes, we
did. Elizabeth Dellinger did a vocals track that was very like that. Closest thing I would say would be like a Sade type of song.
Well, let's digress just for a second, because you do bring up the fact that you do have some other players and other people that, mm-hmm. that get involved in your albums, like Liz. Mm-hmm. Liz is from New Haven?
Meriden,
okay. So she's definitely a Connecticut
person.
And she's been singing off and on various tracks.
Oh, absolutely.
Throughout
Since your Heavy Vibes.
Since Heavy Vibes. Who are some of the other players that kind of been filtering, you know, in and out that you've used, you know,
okay.
like Liz?
All right. Well, our percussionist, he's been with us since Heavy Vibe. That's Asher DeLarmy. He's a Latin and African percussionist. He plays excellent. He's studied all over the world. He's studied in Africa. He's studied in Puerto Rico, and streets of New York, everywhere. And he's an excellent musician.
Steve Clark has played with us since Lifetones.
He's our bass player.
Yeah, he's been playing bass. Also,
Dean Kosh.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Dean Kosh was a drummer. Yes.
Dean Kosh was from Heavy Vibes also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another drummer was Adrian Tramontano.
Yes.
He's played with us. Mike Nuno of the Nuno family of Milford.
Yes.
He's been with us on some CDs.
Many years. We even gave tribute to from in our anthology. To everyone who recorded with us, we put their name.
Very nice.
Everyone that ever recorded something with us, we put their names. Like our first drummer, Angelo Santos. He was from the beginning with us. Keith Richards, too, on bass. He switched from guitar from the Stones.
Well, I'm so glad you got him to sit in on
yeah,
bass.
Yeah, when Mick wasn't busy, he played with us.
But no, Keith Richards is from Milford, and he was one from the. He was our original bass player. Yeah, so he was with us for a long time with Angelo Santos. Of course, Dean Kosh, as we. He was with us many years, and
now our current bass player, actually Donnell Roberts, he's been with us for a good 6 to 8 years. He played on Turbulence.
Turbulence, yeah.
He played on a few of our CDs, and he played on the new one, the two bonus tracks on the anthology CD.
Yeah, and we'll talk about those in a little bit. Now, let's move on to 2008 and Winds of Change. You had a message going on with this CD. What was that all about?
The message, that was an election year. Yes, it was.
It was?
Oh, yes, it was. Yes.
And, there was change in the air. It was an election year.
It was a recession.
There was a lot going on.
A lot of turmoil.
Yeah. And we were just trying to create like a little band-aid of peace and harmony with music through that.
It did start in turbulence, I'd have to say. We started... We had to say, we felt like we had to say something or give a message out, as Gregory said. And in reviews, they called us the musical peacemakers of contemporary jazz. And that was not something we made up. They just said, what our music shines, it gives a signs of peace to on global unity. And everybody caught up on that, all journalists, and they've been calling us the musical peacemakers of contemporary jazz since 2007.
Yes.
Since then,
and honestly, we do live our lives that way. But seeing it in print, it's like, okay, well, all right. Well, maybe we are putting that out. So why don't we develop it even further?
Yes.
So on each CD, we would develop that
message,
global unity, that message.
The Winds of Change. The video of it was also played at the Democratic Convention. We were very proud of that. And that had inserts of speeches by now President Obama, Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, and Robert and John Kennedy. But it was messages of hope. That's what it was. Inspirational.
We took just little tidbits of some of their speeches and
over
music that we put together.
Yeah. And it was fair. And people have used it as an inspirational work in their workshops. We've got emails from people that they've used this video for and to motivate their people who come to their workshops. So that feels good.
Now, can we find that video on your website?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You can find it at a lot of places, yes.
website, if you go to Winds of on our website, it says video Winds of Change.
Okay, so people can catch that.
And we closed the CD with that.
Yes.
There is an actual song called Winds of Change, which is track 2. which is like, I would say, a smooth jazz, funky.
That was one of our
jazz.
Singles from
that
it,
was
yes.
a single.
That
and then we the CD ends with what's called "Winds of Change," the reprise, and we just made it more of a spoken word over
yes.
some warm textures taken from the "Winds of Change" song itself.
Yeah, we were even aghast after we produced it. Because it's overwhelming. So when we after we finished it, mm-hmm. and we listen to it, and we go, "Wow, that's beautiful."
It's a powerful.
It's
piece.
Very powerful. If you sit there and you listen to it, and you really feel it good, it is an inspirational piece. Even just not even watching the video, just listening to
yes.
it, it's very powerful.
And piece. The Winds of Change CD, I would say though, that was one CD that we. Really did gear more toward a smooth jazz sound.
Yes, we wanted
just because we wanted to create a certain CD of a certain unity.
Mm.
We didn't want to go all over the place. I mean, the influences were all there, the Latin influence, the R&B, but it was certain approached on yeah. Just going toward a nice, cool, easy sound.
As the other CDs were more high energy,
contemporary
jazz.
More edge to them.
Turbulence was world fusion, and much
mm-hmm.
more world was more world music. We wanted to be just more a smooth jazz sound.
Yeah, and the tones, the guitar sounds I
yeah.
used were a little warmer.
Yeah.
I mean, and just played a little bit differently, just to do something different, not to keep putting the same type of CD out over and over.
Okay, so then
but it was melodic, though. It was.
Oh, yeah, the arrangements were there. It wasn't by no means just two-chord songs.
No.
But
no.
Just the approach and the tones
yes.
were more of a smoother.
Yes.
Okay, so then in 2009, out comes New Horizons.
Yeah, well, we got...
2010.
Yeah, we had to wake up and we...
okay.
Well, we had to...
Let me check your paperwork here, Tom, and see what your paperwork says here. We all have some sort of paperwork in front of us so we can keep our notes straight here. And I'm seeing... Oh, he does have 2010.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I guess I'm wrong since they are the authors. So in 2010...
Yes,
out comes New Horizons.
Yes, and we had to get a little more rambunctious again.
Yes.
But that one has a little bit of everything on it. It has some smooth jazz, but then it goes back to almost like our Lifetone stuff with a lot of edge to it.
And then you have Thank God It's Friday.
Which is a very like New York cool jazz, easy bluesy
yeah.
kind of song.
Yeah, and Gate 7.
Gate 7, that's take off and just fly.
And a lot of people just latched onto that song,
yes,
too.
Yes, they did. Yeah. They did.
That's okay. A heavy horn arrangement, string arrangement
horn
song.
Horn arrangements. It goes...
It was a lot of tracks on that. Yeah,
yes.
A lot of arrangement on that. New Horizon was, I would say, a mixture of the heavy vibe CD, which had that R&B vocal arrangements to it. The Turbulence were a fusion, and the smooth jazz of Winds of Change. We did have a concept when
yeah.
we were doing the New Horizons.
The New Horizons, like Tom just said, is a combination of those three
CDs. Three CDs. We said we wanted to keep the airborne sound that we did in those three albums, but combine it into that one. And we really, I think we accomplished that
mm-hmm.
too.
Because
because it has some vocal tunes like God Bless the... Child and Sonny. We remade Sonny, and that's your fault. No. We were happy we did it.
So you've got seven CDs over the course of, 20 years?
Yes.
And so it's time to release an anthology. Why not another CD of all new material?
Well, just like you were saying.
Is this one my fault too?
No. What we were just talking about. The availability of the sound of not hearing that music or not remembering what that sound was. We wanted to show what the airborne, how it's grown through the years. And we like we were saying before, one of the songs on there, The Sunny Skies, was recorded in 1984. And now we've just recorded... In 2011, you'll have Back in the Days and Moving Forward. You see the variety of Airborne and how it's grown and the excellence of the musicians that have played with us through the years. There's
And the CD also has two new tracks.
Yeah.
So we wanted to add some new stuff and give you a variety of some of the old.
Yeah, and a message at the end, as we always do. And as we were saying, the New Horizons CD, there was a message at the end of that. That was in different languages, too. We put a message that we wanted to go out to the world. So there was languages. It was in French, Spanish, Italian.
German.
German, yes.
English.
Yeah, African. So there was many different languages saying peace, peace to the world. So it was definitely an airborne message.
Okay, so you've talked about the process, and we've also talked about, you know, the internet and distribution. Let's go back a little bit, you know, and talk about, you know, how things actually come together. For example, how do you guys go about writing a song? Do you guys sit down at the piano or the guitar every day at a specific time? You sit down and say, now we're going to write a song. How does this whole process generally work?
I would say yes to everything you just said.
Okay.
Sometimes you will say, I'm going to go write a song, and you will go to the guitar or the piano and actually compose something. And then sometimes you might just be playing it or practicing, and a melody might come in your head, and a song will just grow from there. So I would say both ways as far as the writing. Usually when I write, I'll generally start with a melody, and where it will go from there, it just begins to grow, and I'll record the track, my guitar part, and it develops. Sometimes a song will happen in one day, sometimes a song will take weeks to develop and grow.
I agree with Gregory. You might feel a groove, or you just hear a melody, or you just might feel a chord change.
Yeah.
Depends on the song. You might wake up in the middle of the night and you hear something. You hear a melody, and you're going to have to get up and do something about it, because in the morning
you would have forgotten.
You forgot it. Or sometimes if I'm at the piano, this is Tom Barino, if I'm at the piano, something just clicks and it works. Or I said, or just like in back in the days, I had a concept. I said, I want to, back in the days. Okay, back in the days. Wow. Yeah, something funky. That's what we were looking for, because we started with that old soul kind of feel, and something pushing, contemporary jazz that had a little more funk to it. So in my mind, I said, yes, that's what I want to write.
Okay, so you do all your work, and you start putting things together in Greg's studio, and we can all imagine, you know, what a studio looks like and what happens there. But can you kind of give us a, you know, idea of you know, a vision of what that process is and what's happening
okay.
there?
Well, if I'm writing a song, generally I will write it to a click, so the song is in time. I will put down my basic parts, the basic chords or a melody.
And when you say a click, it's like a metronome.
A metronome, right? Yes, just okay. Keeping time. Or sometimes using even just a drum loop just to give you a feel or a groove,
the beat,
or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then generally the next step is the drums will come in.
Yes.
And then the drummer will lay down his parts, and then we will refine it from there.
Yes.
And then everyone eventually adds their own parts.
It's funny, like we were talking before, that before the bands used to play live, always years ago, the bands used to record. Heavy Vibes was played too. All the bands, I mean, all our CDs, probably up to Heavy Vibes, were
played live in
played
the studio.
With the full band,
right there
rhythm
in the studio.
Section. Yes,
the guitar, bass, drums, and keyboards.
Yes.
Okay. And now it's all done separately.
Now, yes. Now it really is. It's funny how people will send tracks across the country on the internet to people like on the West Coast, and they'll put their parts on and send them back to you.
Yeah.
Or something. That happens every day.
Yeah, the technology is here that you could do that. So, you know, there's plus and minuses about both.
Yes, but there are good things about playing live, because you interact.
Oh,
there
sure.
Sounds.
So, so you've got the tracks together, and they're all set to go. So you just buy a bunch of blank CDs and start burning them or uploading them. Is that how it all happens? Is that how distribution works?
All that easy, but it's not. Well, the mixing is very time consuming.
Yeah.
And painstaking.
And when you say mixing, what do you mean by that?
Okay, well, just say a song like two new ones, "Back in the Days of Moving Forward."
Oh,
that might be a call-in, but we're not going to answer it.
Okay, okay.
We'll just continue on.
We will continue on. A song like "Back in," we're live. You can.
Yeah,
tell
we're
it's
definitely live.
We're definitely live. So.
Yeah, but we're lucky the dog hasn't started barking yet either.
But a song like "Back in the Days" or "Moving Forward," each of those songs easily had maybe 40 tracks.
Yes.
Or 50.
Of 40 different little parts and pieces.
Different parts. Yes. And somehow you have to fit those 40, 50 different tracks into two little speakers. And each part is fighting to be heard.
So it's like a sonic puzzle.
Yes, it's a puzzle. And you... you just create a mix that feels good, where it captures the essence of the song, and then you're done. And you go back and forth. One day you listen to it, you don't listen to it then for 2 days, then go back to it, and then you change some things. And that's kind of the process of recording a CD.
Recording and mixing, yes.
Yeah.
At first, a horn arrangement, you have to write it out.
Yes.
Yes, you have to write out the music. Of course, you write out everything for the musicians to play because it's easier for them to learn. And then, as Gregory said, you bring each one down to do the parts. You record the horn section. Yeah. I would do all the string arrangements, and we'll get that down. And we run all my keyboards. That's another thing. We run the keyboards to get all different kinds of sounds to fit the ambience of the song.
And actually, most of the time, if I recorded a guitar part when I was writing the song, usually after the drums and bass have been put down, I might redo them so I could lock into more of what the drums and bass played.
But then there's sometimes you didn't. Because
sometimes you didn't.
That was the song.
Yeah. And that's what they played too.
And that's what they played too. And it was... Yeah, sometimes a lot of times we even talked about that. Sometimes, but with musicians, their first take is the best.
Yeah,
great. We've noticed that the first take is the best because they just feel a certain feel of what they're feeling at that time.
It's very spontaneous.
Yes, and that's sometimes the best. Yeah.
All right. This is Ed Tankus from Blue Plate Radio, Connecticut's premier jazz station, and this is Talking Jazz Live. I'm here with keyboard player Tom Barino and his brother guitarist Greg Barino of New Haven's own Airborne. Airborne has just released their 8th CD, an anthology called Back in the Days. We're here to talk about their new CD and much more. And if you'd like to purchase an Airborne CD, then simply go to their website at airbornejazz.com for all the information. That's airbornejazz.com. And again, so Back in the Days was the anthology CD, your newest CD, was released just a couple of weeks ago, and it's doing very well. The CD has 17 tracks. Now, there are roughly a dozen tracks on each of your previous 7 CDs. How do you choose? How do you possibly choose which of those tracks goes on the anthology?
That was painstaking. Actually, we made a list on paper. And then, actually, we made a CD and listened in the room to see what the flow and the order was. And some songs actually didn't make the cut. And actually, we put other songs on there. And there were some songs that actually might have been more popular than what we do, but maybe quite the mix wasn't as good as it could have been. Or there was just, we just went with a certain flow for this new CD.
We listened to the mixes.
What was
the better mix of that era? We tried to get a combination of all the eras of the CD.
Which captured the best performances.
Yes, and the sound and the mix, of the band of that time, of when that CD came out. And there was a lot. We had to cut a few songs because a CD only 78 minutes. So when we finalized it, we were way over 78 minutes.
So we had to cut some songs. We also shortened some of the ones from their original...
From the original
CD.
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, but
some things.
Some seconds here or there, 30, maybe 20 seconds here or there.
Maybe shortened an ending
Or
took out an intro that might been overindulgent.
That's why some of it have. That's why we say they're re-edited and remastered. It's all remastered. It's all re-edited. So to do that, to fit it in that time, I think it's 77:44.
Yes,
I think.
We made it by 15 seconds.
But we did it. We
15
did.
15 seconds.
And we're very happy of how it came out. And you could get a picture of what Airborne is. It's a New Haven sound. It's been known through, but now we're so happy it's known throughout the world. Yep. We're very happy about that.
So what, you know, you used a bunch of different criteria to figure out which songs. Were there some songs that that were left off that you really did want to include?
Yes.
Yes.
There was two particular ones. They were very long.
Yes.
Drums of Peace we wanted to put on because it's an African piece. It was so different. It's just such a different piece. And also our American Indian Native American tribute, we wanted to put that in.
Native Search.
But that was long.
We're live here at Blue Plate Radio.
And you know, the funny thing is,
pizza will be done in 10 minutes, sir.
And the funny part about listening to the phones ring is that we disconnected them. You know. I'm not sure how they're still working or running, but
yeah. They are.
They are. So I guess it's the miracle of electronics. And we were talking
actually,
about
there were a few others that
after
didn't make
the storm.
After the storm,
yeah,
that was a long song. It was a great song, but it was just too long.
And it goes through so many different
changes,
some moods. It goes from a fusion to a Latin piece. It was a wonderful.
A few got cut.
We were sorry.
We were going to put the big band piece on there too. Hillside Swing.
Yes,
but you know you have to make cuts. Long CD. So.
That's why Airborne music is. That's why we say when we say it's contemporary jazz, we're smooth jazz and vocals and world fusion. One journalist said that we're like a woven fabric. It's a little bit of everything. You know, it's a picture of everything. Like when you see a fabric or a tapestry and you turn it around, you don't see the picture. But you turn around, you see the endings. But when you turn around, it's a different picture, and that's all the different styles of Airborne. That was a nice visualization of that.
Oh, that's great. Well, we've got an email from one of your fans here. It's not a question, but just a comment. Greg and Tom, congratulations on your new anthology CD. This is from Kathy Coyle of New Haven, Brantford area. I logged onto your website on Sunday and had the pleasure of listening to the new music. I thoroughly enjoy hearing the clips. The blend of old and new gives a CD a great balance of the Airborne smooth jazz sound. I am looking forward to obtaining and listening to it. I need something soothing to listen to when the traffic gets crazy crossing that cube bridge. Greg, you are a master at mixing the Airborne sound. Tom, your golden fingers on the keyboard show such musical genius. No comment about Tommy. Good luck with the new CD. I hope to see you guys soon.
That was very nice, Kat.
Thank you, Kathy.
She should be our publisher.
And where do we send the check?
I don't know.
There are two new tracks on the anthology CD, Back in the Days and Moving Forward. Tell us about how those two tracks came around.
Well, when we were planning on doing the anthology, we wanted to add at least one bonus track, a new song. But we all wrote some stuff. I wrote two things. Tom wrote two pieces. Mm-hmm. And the other Tom did too. And then we put them together and listened. And I got to say, Tom, my brother's two songs made the cut because they were better songs.
I won the lollipop.
He won
the
wow.
And Back in the Days is really old school funk.
Yeah.
What'd they call it, Tom?
Party time jazz.
Party time jazz.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that phrase before.
Yeah.
I think we have a new genre.
Yeah.
This is going to take
party
over the term smooth jazz and contemporary jazz.
It's a cool title.
And it's a live piece.
Yeah.
It's a live kicking piece.
Yeah.
It's
the energy comes.
Yeah.
I have to say the musicians really kicked it.
Yeah.
The bass player and the drummer, they really did wonderful.
Yeah, our new drummer, Dave Ramsey, he kicked it. He really did. And Donnell Roberts, yes. Our bass player. The rhythm section and the horn section was great.
We have to give tribute to, we haven't mentioned Randy.
Randy Boss.
Yeah, yeah. Boss. He's the boss, man.
Boss. He plays trumpet with
us. And he's been on many CDs with us.
Yes, since Turbulence.
Yes, yeah, we have to mention Randy, yes.
And Randy's another New Haven product.
Yes, he sure is.
He has a lot of great musicians, musicians from New Haven. New Haven has a sound of its own. Mm-hmm. Everywhere we go, we always say, okay, we're going to do a little New Haven funk sound right now. When we go, even if we're not in New Haven, we say that because New Haven has a sound.
Yeah. And the Moving Forward is definitely a more Latin contemporary jazz kind of sound. Typical airborne sound, but just a little more refined, nice arrangements.
Yes, it has it has horns, flute.
Flute, guitars, the whole bit.
Yeah, horn sections in both. Both songs that we put horn section arrangements on, both those songs. Now, we tried to make them big songs.
Now, the current single is Back in the Days, but internet and terrestrial stations are not only playing that single, they're playing other songs.
Yes, they are.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I wish they would all play the same right song. Now.
Yes, yeah.
Because then we'd go up in the charts, actually. But it's a good thing they're playing our stuff. So I don't know. But some of the songs that were on our other CDs, they didn't play back then, but they are playing now.
It's funny, yes. We have a radio promoter. It used to be All That Jazz. It's Gover Music Marketing, Jason Govrick. And it's funny, when he was... he's been with us for years, and he was promoting Smooth Sailing, and now because Smooth Sailing is on the anthology album, he's saying, why didn't they play it then when I wanted to, but now they want to play, but we laugh about it, but Gregory's right, because how charts work, they move a single, but everybody's playing it, but that's okay, it's still good. Because people like our music. They're playing Sunny Skies, like I mentioned before. And that was made in 1984. So who knows? And one of your favorites, Ed, is Hollow Moon.
Hollow Moon. And Trust in Love.
And Trust in Love.
This is an R&B vocal duet.
And believe it or not, Radio I, Dr. Mike, he plays Back in the Days, but heavy rotation on Hollow Moon. Yeah. Who would think of what they're all playing? They're all playing something different. But hopefully now we'll make them play. We're trying to get them to play the single plus the other, which is even better.
Well, we're playing Back in the Days. Back in the Days is in rotation as Blue Plate Radio.
What is Blue Plate Radio?
Radio got to play back.
Yeah, we are playing Back in the Days right now as we speak. So after the show... and continue to listen, you will probably hear it.
Oh, very okay. good. Yeah, but we did try to put a song from each CD and a different feeling of what the band went through all the years. I'm not talking about the emotional or the distress. We're talking musically or the development of the band. It is a history. It's a history of Airborne. It's a history of New Haven jazz. So it is something that... to pick up. We hope everybody enjoys it.
Sure. We have one more comment from your friend Kathy Coyle. What would Airborne be without Tommy on sax? Smooth jazz is just not smooth jazz without a sax man. Tommy is a force to be reckoned with.
Ed, you answer that one.
I don't know if there is an answer to that one. You know, I think that kind of says it all, don't you think?
Tommy, I hope Tommy's listening.
Tommy's listening too. The reason Tommy, and we were picking on Tommy because Tommy's just such a great target.
Yes.
And he's such a good sport about it. Tommy's not feeling well tonight, otherwise he would have been here tonight to defend himself. And this program probably would have gone on for hours and hours because Tommy just has this way of taking over the mic and going with the flow, so to speak.
Well, you were at their concert this week, and yeah. You know, he was making them all the people like laugh at personal. You know?
Absolutely. Tommy had a great time. Yeah. Tommy always has a great time, whether he's with a crowd or by himself. but again, Tommy has been playing, you know, sax and flute for years and years and years.
He's a great writer.
Yeah, he's a great writer, he's a great performer, he's a great singer, and he just seems to have it all. If you'd like to purchase an Airborne CD, Back in the Days, or any of the other CDs, are all the CDs still available for purchase?
Yes, they are.
Wow, yes. Even back from 1990.
Absolutely. You could buy CDs or digital downloads.
Or digital downloads for your iPod.
Okay. Yes, they're on CD Baby, Amazon.com, iTunes, and of course, you could buy them direct with us for free shipping worldwide.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
So again, if you'd like to purchase an Airborne Jazz CD, then go to their website, airbornejazz.com, A-I-R-B-O-R-N-E, jazz.com. And guys, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Since it is Back in the Days, an Airborne anthology, I really like to thank everyone who has recorded with Airborne. And me and Gregory want to mention everyone now. Of course, the main leaders of the band is Tom Barino. That's Greg Barino, my brother, and Tom Sansone. We were the founders. But then Steve Clark plays bass. He was with us for years, many years. Angelo Santos was one of the founding drummers. Dean Kosh was the next drummer in line for many, many years. Now, we're talking about wonderful, wonderful musicians. Randy Bose, the boss man himself, on trumpet. For vocals, we had
Elizabeth Dellinger and G. Marie Rivera. Yeah. We have also on bass was Keith Richards.
Keith Richards, yes.
Our percussionist, Asher DeLarmy. Our new drummer, Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Our new bass player, Darnell Roberts.
Yes. Also,
Mike Nuno played bass with us.
Yes.
We just want to thank all the people who played on this anthology.
Of all the musicians who have played or sung. Oh, Faye Green.
Faye Green, New Haven's own.
Yes, she's on our CD. So many musicians that we want to thank them all that have helped us through the years. And I know we'll be playing together many times again with us.
Cliff McLean.
Yeah, Cliff.
There we go. And you can check out any of the Airborne performances by just going to the Blue Plate Radio calendar at blueplateradio.com. And that's it for tonight.
We have to mention one more.
One more.
Adrian Tramontano. He's been recording us since Turbulence. Yes. So, and he's been
He's been a good friend. He's played with us for at least 10 years.
Yes. So we have to mention Adrian. So if anybody knows any of these wonderful musicians, you'll hear them all on this CD, which is a wonderful thing.
Okay, again, you've been listening to Talking Jazz Live. Please tune in next Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern when we'll be talking with another wonderful person from the world of jazz. Thanks again, Tom.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you again, Greg. And again, please check out Airborne. You can see all their shows are available on the Blue Plate Radio calendar. And have a good evening, everybody.